Welcome to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Badeau, and there has been a lot of things that have happened in the past week. So, you know, I've gotten a lot of questions. Do we talk technology this week? Do we talk about some regulations and government use? Or what about patents and all this stuff going on from a legal perspective? So I decided this week we're gonna have a little bit of everything. We're gonna have a hodgepodge this week. So a lot of things we're going to dive into. We're going to look at, you know, really just some of the key points and some of the impacts that that we're going to see from this moment forward. And, you know, I think we're going to start by really diving into the world of government AI regulation. I mean, it's really, it's an area that is as controversial as it is crucial. You know, we had a show in the summer about, you know, President Trump's, rolling out of, America's AI, action plan. And, you know, there were three big executive orders around it. And, you know, one was, accelerating, American AI innovation and, building up the AI infrastructure and then really ensuring that, you know, the government and AI systems were going to be truth seeking and ideologically neutral. So a lot of things got packed into that. And we've seen things really just roll out a little bit at a time, a little bit more on funding for infrastructure and what that was going to look like, a little bit more about, you know, how we were going to regulate some certain things. And, you know, we'd hear some things coming out of the tech companies talking about, oh, you know, here's a new pact that we formed to help shape and, really be our representative on Capitol Hill. And, you know, but clearly, you know, the first thing has always been about, you know, U.S. dominance, maintaining U.S. dominance. And, you know, with federal agencies being told to prioritize AI research, streamline regulations, and really keep federal systems free from, you know, the whole partisan and, you know, ideological influences, it's caused a lot of different, consternation on the commercial side, you know, as well as on the government side. And, you know, fundamentally, it really just means that as, you know, AI has been procured by the government, we've seen some pretty big things happen. We've seen some, four big companies got awarded, that they were going to be the AI large language models of choice. Of course, OpenAI and the research and, even the reshaping of investments and what it means to get value from an investment perspective and the U.S. government taking, some stakes in Intel and all those things. There's just been so much that has been taking place. And now, looking at unbiased AI principles, trying to promote historical accuracy, for example, looking at objectivity or even, what political agendas are. And, these things are starting to be pushed down even into the grade school level, K-12. And, as you're learning about some of these things, there's been a task force set up that is trying to ensure, AI is prioritized as a learning mechanism for, the American youth. And so there's a lot of things that are going on the federal side, but there are also a lot of things that are taking place on the state side. We were familiar and we've talked about how states are competing for these AI data centers and how that's driving a lot of the, regulations that they're coming out with. What state can I get the best deal on? I don't care who the data center owner is. I'm going to give them a whole bunch of tax breaks because we want that. We want the construction first. We want, the data center jobs after that. And then everything else, well, we'll figure it out as we kind of go. And so, you've got states that are changing tax policy and giving incentives, right? That's not new. That's always been there from a manufacturing perspective. So people that are going after AI for that, you know, you can look at some other, you know, just historical examples, and that's not unusual. But what is unusual is you've got states like California, Colorado, they've started to write their own AI laws. And in some cases, they're clashing with, you know, the federal deregulation push. Well, I mean, is it partisan? Is it trying to get their handle, you know, their arms grasped around, you know, the impacts to their citizens? Well, you know, in most cases, you've got even, you know, like the Trump administration's, their approach has generally been, well, we're going to use federal grants. We're going to use, you know, contracting and acquisition to really influence, you know, the direction, as opposed to, you know, push and really preempt certain things. But now they're starting to preempt some of the state regulation. And, you know, you've got to really go back to, you know, the telephone era when it first came out to look at such a, you know, conflict between the states and the federal government from an IT perspective. We'll keep it at an IT state. So, you know, there's just a lot of different things that are taking place around that. And, you know, how AI is being driven and managed and regulated in some states may mean that some AI grants are being taken away from them. And it's really an interesting, you know, dichotomy that's taking place, because now even the FCC is starting to push back against, you know, any of these state AI laws that could interfere potentially with either FCC, you know, federal communications, or, you know, in some cases, national security policies. So what does it really mean for all of you? I mean, you see it all over the place. And so we're going to try to add a little bit of clarity to this. I mean, the reality is, if you're interacting with the government, and it doesn't matter if it's employment, social services, or even taxes, it means that decisions driven by AI are supposed to be transparent and ideologically neutral, right? We talk about that all the time. However, some of the rules and oversights, as they're being written by the states and sometimes the Fed, you know, they're headed in different directions. And that impacts how businesses are going to operate, where they're going to operate, what they're going to do, what kind of oversight they should expect, what are the rules all around that, and it's getting very difficult to keep up with. So some privacy advocates, they're worried. I'm worried as well that there's starting to be too many gray zones. So while there's could be a policy that, you know, makes AI safer, it could have some, you know, differences of opinion, or could have some different interpretations when you go to the federal or the state. And that's a very tough place to put everybody in. And so what I encourage everybody to do, all right, one, you know, you've got to be familiar with your local regulations, because in some cases it's even getting down to the local levels, especially with data centers, AI data centers that are coming in. You've got to be familiar with those. Now, you know, you don't have to keep track and, you know, put them on a spreadsheet and do all those other things, but you have to at least understand what those are. From a state perspective, you've got to broaden the aperture a little bit. There have been over 1,000 different AI bills that have been passed in all 50 states. You know, or there's, you know, and I can't remember, I think the backlog that I saw was another 500 in the next 3 to 6 months. That's mind blowing. So trying to be able to keep up with those is not a feat for the faint of heart, right? It's a lot of work. So I encourage you to do your research, okay? If you are interacting with, you know, citizens, if you're selling things to citizens and you're trying to figure out how you can use their data, what you can use their data for, if it's PII, if it is anything around a digital identity, then really do your research. Start at the state level and then go out to and see what some of the federal regulations could be, or what some of them are that could be coming, you know, down the road. Because there's a lot of things that are starting to influence these things. We've seen technology companies, AI companies set up, you know, PACs, political action committees. Meta just started one 2 days ago, right? And so it's trying to, you know, influence, and it's not just Meta. So I don't think that, but it's they're trying to influence what some of these things are going to look like. And there's always going to be a give and take. There's always got to be a balance. But it impacts you the most, the viewer, because it's going to dictate how you do business. It's going to dictate how you use those models. It's going to dictate how you're using that information. And the best advice that I can give you on that is just educate yourself. That's all you can do. Figure out if there's any sort of you know, impact to your business. Figure out if there's any impact to how you're using them now. And then just be smart. Be careful. And what I tell folks now is you've got to err on the side of caution. Okay. Don't take customer data. Don't take customer information and just go willy-nilly with it, because at the end of the day, it's going to get you in trouble. All right. So I want you to stick around. Next segment, we're going to talk about some other things that are just everything hitting the news this week. We're going to talk about some copyrights and some legal challenges that are finally starting to hit. So stay with us. We'll be right back after a few messages from our sponsors. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of AI Today or any Now Media TV show, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or your iOS device for instant access to bilingual programming in English and in Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Stream the podcast at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and AI Today, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. So the last segment, we talked about regulations and you know, some of the different interactions between the states and setting up their own AI laws and conflicts with US laws. And it's really just a mess, kind of all over the place. So I figured, let's talk about a little bit more of a messy topic. We've talked about it a little bit in the past. And what I've told you is that eventually we would be able to figure out a little bit more around copyrights, a little bit more around legal challenges, a little bit more about, you know, the ability for large AI companies to use your data to train their models, and how, you know, gray, that's another gray area that really was. Well, it started, it has really finally started. We've seen some legal courtroom battles that have started to rock the AI industry. So we know, we saw earlier, you know, we saw some lawsuits against Apple. We saw some lawsuits against Anthropic. And, you know, we've seen some OpenAI, you know, lawsuits around claims of, you know, copyright infringement and, you know, looking at how some of these companies were just scraping millions and millions of data, whether it was books and articles to software to other, you know, users using users' data and taking ideas and stuff like that, you know, all in order to train their large language models, their generative AI models, all without consent and all without compensation. Well, it's finally started. So with, there was that New York Times versus Anthropic lawsuit where, the Times argued that Anthropic, the AI outputs would closely replicate language from protected news coverage. And, quite honestly, that threatens the financial models and the journalistic integrity of the news media. And it doesn't matter if it's print or it doesn't matter if it's TV, whatever that forum was, it's started to rumble a little bit. And, the case was settled, but not before it really raised some keen legal questions. So does using copyrighted material to teach AI count as fair use? Or is it theft at a massive scale? And, looking at other companies, an Apple facing a class action lawsuit from authors who want transparency and they want royalty because their works were found in different AI data sets. I mean, these questions are, starting to boil over. And quite honestly, I mean, the ramifications are just huge. I mean, we're talking billions and billions of dollars in many cases, because we know how much information it takes to train these models. You're looking for information that you can get any way possible, any source possible. And, the thought process is, well, I've paid for it once, I should be able to use it in a model. Well, no, not necessarily. But on the flip side, it's, listen, you pay for it once and you should, that doesn't give you the right to go and use that. You there's got to be some sort of deal that has to be made for you to, use that. And it's getting pretty crazy. And, if you think about it and you step back, it really does have huge ramifications for you as a business owner. So if you think about if the courts and the lawmakers decide to side with the creators, that means that AI companies are gonna face billions of dollars in retrospective, retroactive licensing fees. And that could be, they could be forced to build new models that strips all of that information out. And there's no telling what that does to what their training plans look like, their technology roadmaps, their everything in between. Now, some states have already proposed that, training data disclosure is going to be mandatory. If you're developing large language models, that you have to disclose your data, where you got every piece of that. That's going to force AI vendors really to reveal all their sources. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They're going to have to flag copyrighted material. They're going to have to pay, into different funds, of course, to support artists, writers, publishers, TV shows, whatever. But anything that they have ingested to train those models, it's going to be huge. Now, that means that it's going to, if something like that takes root, every AI output could come with some sort of attached provenance report. And by that, I mean, like in blockchain, we are tracking every single piece of information that comes out of that and where they got it from, how the AI made that decision, how it published that sort of thing. And that could be very much altering, for these companies. but it also is going to have ramifications for what you all can do as well. And the reason I say that is because if you're using those models and you're putting additional customer information in there to help the AI make a recommendation or to help the AI generate something, then how far that flows down is pretty unclear. It could impact you as a business owner, because you could be pulled in, to some suit just as easy. And that starts to hurt your head. If it doesn't hurt yours, it clearly hurts mine, and I'll hurt for all of us. But those impacts are going to be real. And what I would say also is that also means that for the users, just the everyday users, that's going to impact your feeds. That's going to impact what stories, what information either shows on your TikTok account. It could show on your news feeds accounts that you have on your different mobile devices, what the outputs are for, different types of information that you're looking at. I mean, the ramifications are really huge. And, we have talked about this crossroad that you've got innovation and you've got these big companies that are pushing for more and more and more innovation to the point where they're saying, no, every piece of literature should be treated as open, and now I can train on it, versus really creator rights. We've seen it some, in the music industry for a while, publishing rights and the creators' rights and all of those things in between. But as courts are hearing more cases, as I said, that states are releasing a crazy amount of AI laws and regulations, some in protection of companies, some in protection of the citizens and their data. The ones that are going to be affected the most are going to be us, the everyday users that are just trying to use it to improve how they do things, how they interact with their users, how they interact with their customers. And, the ones that are really going to be hit are those online creators, because they are really relying on being able to get things out there quick, generate them fast. And those models need all of that, all that data that started to come into question. And, I wish I had a good sense what direction everything was going, but unfortunately I don't, because, I think in some states it's going to go one direction. I think in other states it's going to go, of course, a different direction, and it's going to come to a head. But how do you decide copyrighted, certain copyrighted material maybe and other copyright material may not be? That could be the difference between, books versus music or those things. And they're all over the place. And, It has started, though. That caseload is starting to pile up, and I expect it's coming soon. Everybody's getting dropped a new lawsuit just about every day, and the big guys are starting to feel it. They're starting, as I said earlier, they're starting to form packs, and it's starting to really impact performance, training plans of some of these models. And so as they continue to release some of them, don't be surprised if some big companies start to slow down a little bit until they're sure what's going to happen, so they don't have billions of fines moving forward. So I'll be following it. I'll keep everybody in the loop as best I can, but it's coming, and I feel it. So stick around. We'll be back after a few short messages from our sponsors, but we're going to talk about cultural impact social and ethical challenges that keep popping their heads up. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Badeau, and we're hitting just about everything this week. We talked about regulations and the friendly back and forth between the federal and state governments around AI laws and all of the different regulations that are out there, some in favor of AI companies, some in favor of the AI citizen. You know, it's all over the place. Last segment, we started talking about some of the legal challenges and the recent deluge of lawsuits that are starting to come into play. And we knew it was going to happen. We didn't know when, but I've been telling you, I guess I'm like, the Chicken Little and the sky is falling. But the avalanche has started. And we're seeing it, and I think we're going to start to get some clarity, finally, around the copyright and the whole proprietary, data and using it to train models. And that's impacting us. It started slowing down. These big guys are starting to, I think they're starting to pull back a little bit. They're worried about it. And so now, why not jump into the social and the ethical and the cultural piece, because we see something every day. You know, when we first started, remember the writer's strike that was taking place, and they didn't want AI to be used in writing scripts. They didn't want AI to be used to for faces and inserting different people in there, and that should be in folks' contracts and stuff like that. Well, it was really only a matter of time, though, that it started to be seen as a little bit more normal. You could go into Midjourney and you could play around and you could generate a whole bunch of things, right? You could generate your face, you could generate a rhinoceros that wearing battle armor and had a Yankees baseball cap on. That is very specific. I know, it could be around a T-Rex. There's a whole bunch of different things that you could do with that, right? And you could use it however you wanted. Well, Vogue recently made headlines for using, AI generated models in their ad campaigns. Most of us could tell it was AI, right? It was good, but we could tell. Now, you start to think, oh, here we go. We knew it was coming. We were just waiting on, who was that first big company that was really going to do that and then let it go public, actually use it in one of their campaigns. Well, that move, I got a lot of emails around that one where it was slammed by just about everybody that, could type, pick up a cell phone, whatever, and it was slammed for a variety of reasons, right? The first one is around diversity, okay? They fear, and it makes a lot of sense if you think about it, but they fear that it erases, real voices, real faces, and it has a negative impact on the industry. And I can understand that. The backlash, oh boy, it was crazy. Social media erupted. And it was hashtag real models, all over the place. And influencers and audiences were really pushing back, on what the synthetic ideal really is. And this is just starting. We are going to start to see more and more AI generated content that is going to go mainstream. It's not going to stay in, you know, our houses anymore. You know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, movies, and I think some, you know, some big blockbusters, wait till more than half of it is generated by AI. And I'm not saying AI is using it to make the colors look better or things like that. I'm talking about fundamentally generating, you know, the material. Now, you can say, though, that if the courts and the regulations and everything else start to pull some of that back and you can't train your models on that kind of information, then how good are those going to be? I don't know. I really don't know. But you can start to see all of this stuff is intertwined. The regulations influence the ability to train on copyright data, which influences the ability to use AI in movies and commercials and the cultural impacts around that. And so you can very easy to see that those ramifications are very wide-reaching, they're very impactful, and where we are from a technology perspective and a social perspective are starting to diverge. They really are diverging, and either it's going to pull us together or it's going to push us a little bit farther apart when it comes to how we see this. And all of these are going to come into play, because I can see where some model, there's going to be a model that looks very close to somebody that's out there, whoever that is, and they may file a lawsuit. Now that would be interesting. And we know that AI can't defend itself, not yet. So it's going to be just another area where the Wild West is alive and well, and Pandora's box has been opened, because you can't put that back in the bottle either. Now, looking at other things around that, deepfakes, the technology is just getting better and better and better, and it's causing more risk. You've got AI videos that are so good at disinformation. You've got AI videos that are so good at celebrity, revenge deepfakes, and even, you know, different clips of, you know, that have really confused folks during, you know, the upcoming elections that we have, the midterms. When you start looking at that and then thinking about where we are from a legal and a regulation perspective, you thought my head was hurting earlier. I mean, we're trying to attack these things head on and individually. So we're trying to do our regulations. We're trying to do copyright. We're trying to do, deepfakes. We're trying to do something else. And these new laws, though, as you're trying to do, you know, really non-consensual image generation, fake news. The enforcement, though, like everything else, is way behind the tech. Why? Because enforcement's not using AI. That's why. You know, AI-generated audio now is so good that a lot of banks are no longer allowing voice recognition as a second form of identification. You know, there were some banks for a time that, you know, when you called in, it would recognize your voice and authenticate you with that plus another form of your ID, which last for your social or something like that. But it's gotten so good that, you know, impersonators, some cases relatives, they're tricking, you know, victims, and they were tricking banks to send money to them. That's crazy. And, you know, now though, when you take all of these things and you start to put them together, you start to think, okay, now it's actually shaping popular culture in some ways that if you weren't paying attention, you might not notice, but they're there. And it's really forming a seed. It's planting a seed that, you know, recommendation engines are now deciding what music, what films, what articles, what, you know, concerns are popping up on other people's social media devices, you know, bubbles, biases, you know, filters, all of those things. So if you're a creator, your job just got significantly more difficult. Not only do you have to worry about the other stuff, not only do you have not have, you know, you're worried about, okay, am I using a model that might be sued and I might have some issues with that? I might get in trouble myself. Can they pull me in? I don't know. But if you're one of those that, you know, is, I guess I would say, not a, you know, super famous creator, kind of right in the middle, it's really a double-edged sword if you think about it, because now if you allow broader access and lower costs, but now you're risking more gaps in, you know, your little security blanket where you felt comfortable getting and using the data and the material around that, it's going to make it much more difficult to stay on top of things and continue to produce that kind of content where you can make a decent living around that. And, you know, I've always told you, as a business owner myself, that I have not found a problem yet where AI cannot be applied somewhere, either helping a decision or, you know, optimizing something or something like that. It's there, it can be used somewhere. Now, you know, your fashion, your advertisements, your fashion, all of that stuff. Is it AI? Or is it a real celebrity? Is it an up-and-comer? Or, you know, is it a guy in skinny jeans? I can't do skinny jeans. But that sort of thing, it is reshaping culture like and fast, like we haven't seen in a long, long time. And AI-generated fashion commercials, it set it off. Now, I don't know where we go from here with it, but I can promise you that tomorrow's synthetic media is going to start to dominate. It's going to start to change the way that we see things on TV, commercials, how data is presented to us. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to that, but I do know I'm not wearing skinny jeans anytime soon. So stick around, though. We're gonna close the show out on where I think we're going with some other things, what some of these ramifications are going to be, and how do you deal with it as a small business. And we'll try to help you get through it. So stick with us. We'll be back after a couple of messages from our sponsors. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of AI Today or any Now Media TV show, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or your iOS device for instant access to bilingual programming in English and in Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Stream the podcast at www.nowmedia.tv. And from business and breaking news to everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. So we're going to bring the show to a close by talking about where AI is going, the impacts, what the future looks like, and you know, really, you know, how are we gonna deal in this new digital age where it's confusing everywhere you look. So we know a few things. One, you know, the administration is really trying to deregulate. It's not just AI, it's power, it's energy, you know, it's a lot of things in between. The goal, of course, ideologically neutral AI. All right, that's great. And we talked about how giant copyright cases are impacted by that, as well as just really fundamentally the growing cultural debates that we're having. These are all just the start. Federal and state, everybody is racing to set what that agenda is going to look like. And then on a national funding you know, plane, it's innovation, you know, is being grouped with AI and other areas. And of course, you know, that's going to play into how far, how fast, how quickly we can develop and advance, you know, some basic things with AI. You know, this is one area where you can really see both sides of the, you know, both sides of the aisle on it. You know, one, I fundamentally believe, you know, certain things about deregulation are great, but I also want, you know, clean water, clean air, and things like that. With AI, even that, those sort of things are starting to get pretty gray. I've always been a proponent that's, you know, that has spoken out about this, that, you know, we have to protect our digital identity, right? And you have to be transparent. That's the only way that you can be ethical when you're using AI. If you're using medical images, then you should have the permission of those patients to use those images in a study. If you're training a model, you should have the permission of the copyright folks, or, you know, the people that have published that material. You should have those rights. There's no reason why everybody can't benefit some way. If you do it the right way, and you do it in an open fashion, then you don't have to backpedal. You can get everybody on board, and you can really start to, you know, to help, as opposed to, you know, people finding out that your ethics plan allows you to sell data and it allows you to give information to kids that's not appropriate. You know, when you hear stuff like that coming out of technology companies, you start to think, you know what, am I just a number? Am I just a number to them? And that frustrates people. But then when they can't get their ChatGPT, they're frustrated too. So, you know, there's no great answer to that. But, you know, I think we have always tried to get through it as a country to think about, okay, you know what? We know that the legal system takes time to get through. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that because, you know, it allows us to be patient and allows us to make decisions after we've thought through it, we've debated it, and we've done the due diligence around that to make sure we're not making rash moves on, you know, political whims. And AI, though, it's changing so fast that, you know, I think we need to have some grown-ups in the room. We need to have some people that are just going to start to say, wait a minute, why are we doing this? Is there a benefit? Is there a benefit to us company-wise? And does that benefit outweigh the Pandora's box that we're going to open? If you think about it, Vogue, you know, what was the benefit of them doing that? Maybe they saved some money. Does Vogue really got to worry about that? You know, was it to be first to do something like that at that scale and at that magnitude and with a company with that kind of reputation? Somebody should have said, you know, raised their hand and said, I don't know if that's a good idea. This is what could happen. And that means that legal cases, fear is going to start to say, okay, we're going to force more disclosure. whether it's everyday tools, whether it's legal disclaimers, whether it's all this generated content, we are going to start to force companies to do something. And that's going to come from a grassroots type campaign. And that's okay. But again, it's, you know, it's about being a little bit more open and thinking about, okay, you know, maybe it doesn't have to just benefit me. Maybe it can be a better, a broader benefit to everybody else, because that's the whole point of AI. We want to democratize, you know, people's ability to use tools to, you know, empower themselves, to, you know, better their lives, better their family lives. And we're just going down a road that I don't like being on. And you've got to think about that. As we force more transparency, and either it's popping up in places we didn't expect, it's you're seeing ethics plans pop out that are inappropriate to 99% of the population, then explanations on how AI comes into play, where it comes from, how it makes decisions, whether it's public or private, it doesn't matter, and, you know, how is it driving trends, that becomes more of a battlefield. It's not like we all hoped that it would be a place where we would be able to figure things out. It's starting to become more like a battlefield. The lines are being drawn. You're starting to see alignment of AI, you know, producers, large language model developers with media companies, or, you know, online companies or software companies. And, you know, the doors are starting to get closed if you're not in the club, and it's starting to drive how, you know, businesses can use the tools. It's starting to drive their access, all of those things in between. And, you know, with digital assistants coming, with news feeds, smart devices, it's going to hit every aspect of your life. You can tell. It's hit mine already. I got my Meta glasses on. And, you know, things that we've always thought that, you know, we can keep private, we can keep control of, we can manage, we can get through, AI is making that a lot harder. And it just comes back to a fundamental principle, I think, that if folks protect their data, their digital identity, their data, their, you know, you don't need to post every single thing of your life. Great. I'm happy for you. You took a picture of your feet on an airplane. It's awesome. That's not really helpful for society as a whole. And so I think as we pull back and we start to look at how we are presenting things, how we are, you know, in some many cases online, how you're hiding behind an identity that doesn't exist. And so that allows you to voice your opinions. And then those opinions are used to train models. It's got a negative consequence. And I think time is only going to be able to tell us if the legal ramifications and policy milestones that we hit with these emerging products and technologies for AI and, you know, wearable devices and stuff, if it's going to have a positive or a negative impact on society as a whole. And I don't have the answer. I wish I did, but I don't. I think about it a lot, and I think it's a shame that as a small business owner, they may take a tool from you because people just didn't do it the right way. And the right way is being upfront, showing transparency. It's working with partners so that everybody can benefit. And, you know, it does not have to be something that is done in secret or, you know, done in a back room, a back room deal that allows you to do something that, you know, gives you a little bit more advantage over somebody else when it's really not worth it. So I think if more people just say, you know, I don't know if it's worth it. It might be cool. It might be really, really cool, but I don't know if it's worth it. Then I think we'll start to get a little bit more balance with these things. And that's all we want. We want balance so that we can continue to use them. We can continue to use them the right way. And then we can continue to really make our lives better and move forward. So I appreciate you being here this week. I threw a lot of information at you. I just wanted to try to get everybody up to speed on all the crazy stuff that has happened in the past week. So we'll see you next week. We've got another great show, and use AI the right way, okay? And be open about it. It's fine. Everybody will understand. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.
This has been a Now Media Networks feature presentation. All rights reserved.